Good morning and welcome to Smashy Business. I'm Lubna Hamdan.
And I am Farah Bashir.
And I'll go through the headlines real quick because I'm really excited about our guest today. He's famous or infamous. I don't know. We're going to find out. We're going to find out from him. social media users are calling for the boycott of Pure Gym UAE. The UAE has ranked second globally for the longest working hours. Shocker. And 12 passengers have been injured aboard a Qatar Airways flight because of turbulence. Egyptian billionaire Naguib Sawiris, always in the headlines, Naguib. He just loves to tweet. But he's done something lovely. He's offered to pay for wounded Palestinians and has urged authorities to open borders. And then Dubai's homegrown burger joint Pickle. That story did so well, and I didn't expect it to, but it's opening 30 branches in a franchise deal with Sky Hospitality, which is part of Sky Investments, which is UAE-based. So the hospitality company is Egypt-based, and Sky Investments is UAE-based. We'll talk about why that matters next. And then, of course, last but not least, Saif al-Rubai on fame, fortune, and frenemies in high places. That's our guest for today. Ooh, let me catch my breath.
It's been a while, honestly. Missed you.
Thank you. Was it not the same without me, Farah?
Ah, of course. How is it a business
show? It was much better. It was much better, yeah, without me. It was much better.
No.
Okay, good. Pure Gym UAE. We don't have too much time for a chat today.
Okay.
But let's go to Pure Gym UAE, the CEO. Obviously, Pure Gym Arabia is not the original brand. The original brand is Pure Gym in the UK, and it's pretty well known. It's a pretty popular gym chain, but it's global. Its CEO basically came out and said he was in support of the military aggression, the Israeli military aggression, and he is for selling weapons and providing weapons to Israel because it has the right to defend itself. We don't want to get too political on this show, but people have found this video. He went on Question Time, which is a BBC show, and he was very, very pro Israeli, very anti-Palestinian. Yeah. Let's just say.
I mean, honestly, my friend used to be registered, like used to go to that gym, Pure Gym.
Okay.
However, with his move of saying that, you know, he is actually supporting what's happening, it's not a smart move. You know, we've seen a lot of brands getting boycotted, right? And a lot of brands as well are actually losing
McDonald's,
amount of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money, a lot of business. And because I think people are mainly taking what's happening in Palestine like lightly, and they are taking as well the people and this generation granted.
I mean, you cannot look away anymore. What's happening in Rafah is really absolutely horrific.
True.
So people are boycotting this gym. We don't know yet how much it's affected it, but it's you know, it's good to see businesses being held accountable. And it's funny because the CEO actually shared something on his on his LinkedIn, and I'm going to try and find it here real quick, but he said basically that he's learned throughout his career how to navigate and understand cultures and markets. So that was a bit ironic because there's, you know, it's a bit tone deaf what he said on that show. Anywho, moving on to UAE, the second globally for the longest working hours. Is that a surprise?
No, but I was talking about it on the Love in Dubai show this morning, and I said something that I have gotten this advice from my dad. He always tells me, Farah, you work a lot in, in UAE and in Dubai, but if you put that much hours of work in Dubai, you will get back. You'll get back.
Yeah, true.
You know, you never just like work for free.
Yeah. And then you also spend all your money.
So. Yeah, exactly. You do. You go to like, I don't know, restaurants, there's entertainment. And by the way, like, see, that's the thing about Dubai. Like, yes, you do work a lot, but they provide a lot for all of us.
They do. But speaking of restaurants, and it's interesting, you said that 7 out of 10 residents dine out every week. So we do spend a lot here, and we don't save either, do we?
Depends, by the way. It depends on how you, I would say, like, split your salary. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? If you go like, fine, this much is going to go for this much, for this part of my life, and this much is going to go for entertainment, and this much is going to go for saving up, then that, yeah, you will save up. You
yeah.
know?
No, I have not. I'll tell you that. I'm ashamed and embarrassed, but I will say it.
I have not saved
a penny.
It's okay.
It's really not. Farah, okay. Bless you. Thank you so much. Let's go through the comments real quick before we move on. Someone said, working longest hours doesn't equate to hardest working, because a lot of publications wrote the story as, hardest working.
Yeah.
UAE is second hardest working. It probably means their management demands face time in the office, nothing to brag about. Also, this only applies to white-collar jobs. Mm-hmm. Someone said, because basically professionals here clock in 51 hours a week on average, almost 51, it was 50.9. Someone said, even 36.5 hours a week in the public sector is too much. Abdullah Safi, Abdullah. I think Abdullah is Emirati and working in the public sector, which I'm starting to be a little bit jealous of that, Abdullah. I'm not going to lie. Ugh, the things I say on the show, I don't know how I get away with it. Anyways, moving on to Qatar Airways. 12 passengers have been injured aboard a flight. Turbulence, they encountered some turbulence over Turkey. And apparently, they were describing the scenes. The flight attendants were up in the air.
Yeah.
The food was everywhere. And someone said, never again. It was atrocious, never again. Is that fair?
I don't think so, because with airlines and the air travel and aviation in general, right?
Yeah.
It is up and down. You can never know, It yeah. depends on a lot of things, not just like the airline, not mm-hmm. not just the
I feel like it's a metaphor for my life right now.
No, actually,
turbulence.
It is actually, because you can just never know when what's going to happen, right? You can never, how many times have we read on the news that it's going to rain and then it turns out to be a sunny day?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How many times we have read that it's going to be a sunny day and then it rains? You never know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Qatar Airways is obviously one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
But it's funny because we were going to Doha for the Powered by Bloomberg Summit, I think like 10 days ago or something. And one of our colleagues, I just messaged on the company group. I said, it's a Boeing 777. Wish us luck. And then my colleague didn't know what I meant. He was like, what is Lubna referring to? And then I just said, better not to tell him what that means. Anyways, we landed safely. Here we are. Thank God.
Well, honestly, I want to say something is that if I would fear anything, I would fear for for example, the pilot, the cabin crew, because they are not seated and they are not protected, as
right.
much as the people who are actually traveling are.
Yeah.
Definitely. But either way, I really hope
it'll be fine for Qatar Airways. They'll get over it. It's a great airline, and turbulence does happen. They've handled it quite well. Egyptian billionaire Naguib Sawiris has been very pro Palestinian recently. At first, he was trying to be a little bit objective, if you can even be objective. Mm-hmm. Now he's doubling down. He's urging Egyptian authorities to, obviously the Sawiris family is known for, they made their wealth in Egypt they had everything from Euronews to telecoms to construction, development. They even, one of the brothers is the man behind the Guna Film Festival. So they're one of the most well-known, richest families. Ironically, Naguib is, I think, the poorest mm-hmm. of them all. But he has offered to pay for wounded Palestinians. We saw the horrific scenes coming out of Rafah with the Israeli airstrike on the protected safe zone, it was supposed to be. And he's been tweeting about it. He said, humans have failed and humanity has died. Enough crime, what is the fault of innocent people? And he said, I appeal to the officials in Egypt, he said on X, to allow the entry of the injured into Egypt and I will cover the treatment expenses. Please respond and you have my sincere gratitude and half the rewards. half the reward is in Islam. Sorry, this is translated from English. Yeah, good.
Honestly,
it's good to see, you know, the more voices to talk about this and
100%. I mean, honestly, what makes me even happier is the fact that businessmen and businesses in general are actually stepping a foot and showing their support, their support to what's happening and their recognition to what's happening in Palestine and in Gaza specifically. Mm-hmm. And even if it's like with little things, even if it's just like speaking up on the matter, whether it's like through an Instagram post or whether it is like as big as, you know, like taking accountability and actually taking a lot of like the wounded people and
treating
them, it's just like beautiful, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. Last but not least, Dubai's homegrown burger joint Pickle is expanding with 30 branches across the GCC. For now, it's Saudi, Kuwait, and
Egypt.
The story did really well, and it's when an F&B, it's crazy how popular these F&B brands are and how obsessed people become with them. And it's funny because we put this out and apparently one of the investors is Khaled Al-Amiri. Khaled Al-Amiri is a social media influencer. He shared that on his platform and it's been creating such a buzz. So as part of a franchise deal with Dubai-based Pickle owner Yoke Brands, which have 1762. I love that deli. When I used to work in Media City, we always used to go down and see Ali Khoury there, and sometimes he would offer my ex-boss like lunch on the house because the deli leases the building which Ali Khoury owns, OMD. So anyways, as part of Yoke Brands and Egypt-based Sky Restaurants, the burger joint will open in Saudi, Egypt, and Kuwait by 2025. That's according to Stephen Flawith. I always have an issue pronouncing names. It will open 3 shops in Egypt this summer on the north coast, 1 in Saudi at the end of 2024, and 1 in Kuwait in Q1 2025. Good news.
I love their burgers. They are purely amazing. Their sauce is like to die for.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, and honestly, like with such good quality, and their quality, by the way, never deteriorated in any way. Mm-hmm. Like I noticed this with a lot of restaurants. They open and they're like, wow, it's amazing. This bomb. I would give it like I don't know a few months in, and it's like, what's happened to your quality?
True.
You know, it's like that's not how it's. That's not how the food tasted a few months ago, and now all of a sudden the food tastes different.
Yep.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. However, like I think this is what makes pickle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quality.
I mean, they're
never
very
went down.
Definitely. The one last thing before we move on to our guest, the really nice thing about Pickle is also the copywriting on the website, the social media marketing strategy, that's, you know, it really differentiates it. You know, it says made by legends is one of their slogans. And it's just very cool. It has a community vibe to it. It's lovely to see a homegrown brand succeed. So that's it for the news. Thank you, Farah, for joining me.
Thank you,
and,
Libna, for having me.
And tolerating me every single time.
No, you're amazing.
So, up next, we're going to have Saif with us in the studio. So stay tuned. Saif Al-Rubai or Ruby?
Rubai.
Welcome to the studio. Welcome to Smashy Business. How's it going? You've had a pretty intense 2 years.
You can say that, but I mean, we're still here, so thank God for that, and it's all good now.
Yeah. Was it that video that you posted on social media really made quite a buzz, and you're quite a character, so it's nice to have you with us. But you have Player's House.
That's
so
right.
You've dabbled in a couple of things, but primarily what you are best known for is being a sports agent.
That's correct.
What is that like, and what characteristics do you need to have a sports agent?
You gotta have thick skin, for sure. It's a very cutthroat business, so you have to really be on the ball and understand that, you know, there's a lot of people that are in that field that you're competing with, and you've got to somehow find a way of kind of differentiating what you're doing in order to kind of be able to make an impact, you know, in the field and in the space.
And you were the youngest, you became a sports agent at 20?
20 years old, yeah. Long time ago now.
Long time ago. Was that the dream, or did you fall into it, or how did that happen?
I kind of fell into it, but, you know, I kind of realized at a very young age that it's a potential business that I could be quite good at, because, you know, like any business where it's managing talent and working with talent or working with organizations, it's all about connecting the dots and bringing people together. So I felt that I had kind of some kind of knowledge in that field. And, you know, in order to become a sports agent, you have to be licensed by all the different federations and authorities. And that's what I did.
People say that sports agents are greedy, but what about the stars themselves?
I mean, look, everything is relative, right? Because talent gets paid for whatever income is generated from that particular business or sport, be it music, be it entertainment, be it a sport. You know, there's billions and billions of dollars going into sports business, let's call it. So it's only right that the talent that are responsible for entertaining those people that, for whatever reason, are spending billions and billions of dollars are paid accordingly.
Yeah. Have you, I mean, how similar is it to real life? Help me help you, show me the money. Jerry Maguire, how similar is it? People
In some instances,
wonder.
Very similar. Unfortunately, I mean, not unfortunately, because I mean, these guys and girls, of course, you know, only have a short career, let's call it. So if you have a 10-year career to be a top, you know, top-class professional athlete, end of the day, you've got to make, realistically speaking, in 10 years, what someone, not a normal person, but what people would make in a lifetime. So it's understandable they would try and make as much as they can in that short period of time.
Yeah. Have you ever lost a client? And how? Tell us. Give us the gossip.
I mean, I work primarily with, you know, I'm primarily more of an intermediary and broker to deals. So I don't really do as much day-to-day work with the talent themselves.
Okay.
You know, I have great relations with their managers, with their agents, with their family members. So I try not to get involved too much on the day-to-day basis. So in that respect, I try to keep it as transactional as possible, because unfortunately that's the kind of business that we're in.
And so you spoke about, you know, the shelf life, I guess. Let's put it that way. It's a bit harsh, but athletes do have a bit of a shelf life. What about what you do? Do you see yourself doing this for a long time still, or would you like to focus on FM? Not saying you have a shelf life, but...
I mean, look, I can carry on. I mean, to be honest, I'll carry on doing it for as long as I'm enjoying it. Like I said, sometimes, you know, you have ups and downs like any nature of business. But I do enjoy the hospitality, you know, F&B field, which I'm also in, you know, also. So just depends, really.
And we'll get to that. We'll get to Player's House, because it's pretty cool. And you've just revealed a partnership with Podster to do a podcast there. So that's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Nobody has done that here, really, with the sports. Mm-hmm. Not just a pub. It's so much. You have a barbershop, and but we'll get to that. How much would you say you've made on a single deal?
How much have I made?
Yeah.
I mean, look, the figures vary from deal to deal. Like I said, because I'm involved in various levels of deals. But when you're working at Premier League international level, of course, you know. There's, you know, the financials of it can vary and spread, but there's not a particular amount, and it's all relative to the size of the deal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very diplomatic answer. Are you going to give us a number?
Unfortunately, not.
No. Okay. Is there anyone you wouldn't work for, or you wouldn't work with?
I mean, when I was younger, I would say I used to be a lot more emotional when it comes to the business, in terms of maybe not wanting to do a deal because of personal relations or dislikes of characters and people you do business with, be it the corporations, associations, teams, or players themselves. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a lot more pragmatic about these things, in terms of this is a business. Mm-hmm. So my job is to make things happen and do whatever it takes to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. You've just had a high profile trial.
Mm-hmm.
with someone related to Abramovich. How do you sleep at night?
Me?
are you worried at all?
No, why would I be worried? I'm here right now. And, you know, to be honest, these things happen. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. some people, for whatever reasons they have, may want to, you know, slander and say things about you that may not be true. But unfortunately, when you're in a high-profile business, in any walk of life, again, people will always, you know, you're a target, so you get used to it. But just for whatever reason, sometimes I get to be the brunt of that more often than not. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, interesting you say that. But would you say you've got a lot of enemies or frenemies?
Not enemies, but I guess if you're doing well in life and in business, you know, if people are not talking about you, good or bad, then it means you're not really doing much. Mm-hmm. So I guess if you're the topic of conversation, then I guess I must be doing something right.
True. I read this book a couple of years ago, and it was about the fall of the private equity company, Abraj. Mm-hmm. The book is called The Key Man.
Okay.
And some people in that business said that they would sleep with a knife under their pillows and check under their cars. I thought that was an exaggeration. Is there a dangerous aspect to sports, or is it overly exaggerated as well?
No, luckily I can look after myself, and
you don't sleep with anything.
I don't sleep with any kind of tools or paraphernalia under my pillow. Unfortunately, I can't. I don't want to be. I don't want to give you too much exciting information. But you know, the truth of the matter is, in life, when you are, you know, doing business in a correct way, and mm-hmm. You are not, you know, cutting people out of business, and you're just being correct in general, mm-hmm. you have nothing to worry about. And that's mm-hmm. how I try to conduct myself in most of the ways I do business.
Would other people be afraid of you?
No. I mean, you know, the reality is I'd like to think people will try and respect me, whether they like me or not. But in the end, I have a duty to the people I work with and for in every deal I do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's debunk some myths here. You had nothing to do with the Kia incident and the watch.
No, yeah. I mean, that was something that was public knowledge. So, you know, again, like I said earlier, people will say whatever they say. And, you know, thank God, you know, when it comes to the law of the land, the law of the land is the law.
Last question before we move on to a much nicer topic, Player's House. Do you regret sending that email?
No. End of the day, you know, in the end, I always say one thing. In life, you can't be wrong and strong. So
I like it.
Yeah. So the reality is, you know, you have to stand up for whatever you believe in. Sometimes people try and twist things in a way which suits their agenda. And of course, if they try and twist it in a way which harms that person, which is what happened to me, in the end, they're going to have to pay. So, you know, you can do what you want, but what can I say?
Cool. Okay. let's talk about Player's House, and maybe we'll talk about this really, really intriguing world. Maybe later after we stop the cameras. But Player's House, tell me the concept behind it. So you've got a barbershop.
Yeah.
You want to do podcasting there. Will you be hosting the podcast? Tell me first about the concept and where you see it going.
I had an opportunity, this time last year, potentially, to kind of look at a space, you know, on the Palm Jumeirah. And for me, I wanted to kind of bring something new to Dubai in terms of a concept that's, you know, obviously Dubai, when it comes to hospitality and food and beverage, has a million concepts. And I was thinking of something that may be a bit different. And the idea that I came up with was to open, obviously, a premium sort of sports lounge bar, you know, great food, great drinks, but then have different type of revenue streams and also concepts within the concept. And
yep.
That, you know, that included having, you know, a grooming room, that included having a podcasting studio, music studio as well, so professional grade music studio, and trying to bring it all together where it becomes like a cultural hub for sport, entertainment, media.
Yep.
And that's kind of like how it's coming along. But again, with any new concept, it takes a bit of time, but you know, so far, so good.
And you think there's enough of that community here in Dubai to?
I mean, look, sports is 7 days a week. So it's not about the community. It's about the having sports as an anchor where there's things going on every day of the year. So it's just a question of attracting and interacting mm-hmm. with all the different sports loving people, you know, male and female, that want to be in a more premium environment and want to kind of experience something slightly different to your typical bar or pub of that nature.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do.
That's really nice to hear. So I played football very, very briefly, but I really like it and I love to watch football because I do feel like I understand why people watch it generally. It's not just the love for the sport, but it's also a total escape from all of your
course.
Problems. How is it doing now, players' house?
Like I said, you know, the people love coming for the sport, love coming for the food, for the general vibe that we're trying to create. And, you know, they know that, like you said, when you go and watch a sport or, you know, whatever sport you love, you know, that's 2 hours of your time where you kind of get engrossed and get away yeah. from it. And, you know, trying to create that environment that may be slightly different to other places is obviously not easy. It takes a bit of time, but, you know, with time, people do like it and they do come back.
Do you have some deals in the pipeline? Any, you said you have a music recording.
Music studio, yeah.
Music studio.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, again, before we actually opened the studio, for example, Kanye West was staying at the Royal Atlantis at the time.
Okay.
And, you know, we got contacted by his people. And they really wanted to come and use our studio because, again, being located where we are, you know, at the Andaz, Dubai, the Palm, it's a very good location in yeah. terms of geographically. So a lot of the international sort of, let's say music stars are in Dubai all the time now. A lot of them typically stay on the Palm nowadays.
Yeah.
So we're quite well located for that. And we're actually going to be launching the music studio officially mm-hmm. very, very soon. We launched yeah. the podcasting studio with Podstar a couple of weeks ago. And that's mm-hmm. been very, very, you know, booked up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, both Podstar are amazing, honestly. Andaz used to be the, is it Oceana or?
No, it's that? In front of Tiara building.
It's in front of Tiara, okay. Yeah. I thought it was Oceana because I used to go there after school and,
yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
and sneak in.
No. It's it's right in front of the St. Regis on the Palm.
Okay,
so, yeah.
cool. Will you host your own podcast? People are wondering.
Possibly. I mean, look, we're going to have, obviously, a lot of different sport-related podcasts. You know, right now we're in talks with, for example, Serie A, Middle East, Firmina, you know, who have a massive online presence and they want to host a weekly live podcast in our studios because obviously being a sports hub, let's call ourselves in terms of the cultural and entertainment side, it's a nice setting if you wanted to do a podcast of that nature followed by a watch party, for example, for a game and things like that. So.
Yep.
Will I be hosting my own one when the time is right? Possibly, because I, you know, like yourself, you know, a lot of people want to ask different things to do with the business that I'm involved in and the people that I deal with. But, you know, we'll see.
Okay, interesting. Any expansion plans, or is it?
No, for now, it's just a question of, you know, getting the concept right. You know, trying to give the best service and. You know, a proposition to the customers, and then hopefully trying to be like a Dubai, you know, based concept that potentially has the potential to grow worldwide.
Is it true that your dad had a kebab shop?
A kebab shop?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. He had, what did he have? No, we had I believe it was when I was younger, a Lebanese restaurant. Long time
okay.
ago. Wasn't it quite a kebab shop, but yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to kill my source. You know who you are.
No problem.
Cool. So it's coming kind of full circle going back to F&B.
Uh-huh.
Cool. Any other businesses that you'd like to speak about that you're involved in?
No, we're all good. I mean, just, you know, we're in the best city in the world. And it's good to be able to be in Dubai and be able to try and, you know, fan the entrepreneurial and creative flame to try and make things happen here, and we're all grateful to be here. And you know, the country as a whole has great leadership that are trying to put the city on the map and everything they're doing here.
Hey, like the story about Pickle, you know, expanding the 30 locations.
It's amazing.
It really is amazing. Are you looking for investors? Do you have any existing investors?
No, I mean, as any normal startup, you know, there's always opportunities for strategic investors to come into a business, especially if you have expansion plans and things like that. And again, those conversations are had from time to time and are on a case-by-case basis.
Cool. Well, maybe after the show, you'll get someone.
Never.
Someone interesting.
Definitely.
Thank you so much, Saif,
Thank
for your
you.
Time. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
You know the drill. Get us wherever you get your podcasts, or for the video version, go to smashy.tv, and we'll see you tomorrow.